This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to A-Wide Radio. Here on DC Sports Radio 106.7, the Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. We got Super Bowl champ legend in the DMV, Doc Walker, coming up after me. I'm live and local until 12 noon. We'll be joined by Michael Phillips at 11:30. Rick Snyder, Sergeant Snyder in the AWOD Army, and columnist for 106.7 The Fan at 11. Now's your chance to chime in on the Commanders. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Deacon in D.C. Deacon, I appreciate you hanging on hold here. What's going on?
Hail to the W, my friend. So I have two things to say. First of all, man, we can do better by the run. I think we should unleash Rodriguez with Robinson, like a two-punch halfback thing, tailback out of the backfield one, and then another one who stunts to help 74 Coleman on the outside, and then rolls out across the middle into the flat or as a check down, as well as because we were they fronted us on the left side by the rookie couldn't hold on to that guy. He couldn't block that guy, but he's a rookie.
Yeah,
you know. And the bottom line is we have a solid base. Everybody's hurt, so everybody's playing hurt. League-wide.
Yeah.
Now, I think the second thing is the pivotal part of the game was when Jaden finally had to run the ball on fourth down, and we would have put us in field goal position and also possibly taken the lead, I believe.
Yeah.
But he got stopped.
Hey, Deacon, let me chime in on something and get your take on it. So I agree with you. We need to do better at running the ball here, and Rodriguez has been good when he's gotten the opportunity, and I do like two running backs in the backfield like Eckler and B-Rob or Rodriguez and B-Rob. But I think to be able to run the ball, though, we have to take a deep shot, and it has to be successful. And that was my biggest issue. Where was the deep shot? Where was the explosive play? Where is Terry one-on-one down the sideline? That backs the defense off a little bit so you can run.
Okay, here's my time. 10, 30, 50. Your 10, 30, 50 yard is the rule of passing. And so you first start off doing your 10 and mastering that. Then the 20 or the 30 yard rule. Then your deep pass begins to come into play. And the deeper pass is the 50 or 60. But if you begin with your run, what's wrong with us starting off fast rather than having to go fast at the end of the game or the end of the quarter? Let's start off in a two-minute drill in the beginning of the game, run it, and then come calling two plays at one time and then going back to the line of scrimmage and doing a hustle hike rather than waiting to come back to the huddle, go back out, and then try mess up and know we don't get the yardage on the run. Oh, here we are again. We got to hustle and throw the ball. And there's a drop. So what's wrong with speeding up the game in the beginning, you know?
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Deacon, I appreciate you chiming in. I do think that one of Jayden's weaknesses this year has been these scripted plays, the first 15 plays of the game. I mean, it started week one, his first throw, he threw it backwards against the Bucs. And obviously, you know, he responded from that and has been good throughout this season. But he's been great when we do no huddle and hurried up a little bit before the half and end a game scenario. Like, he won the game against the Giants with a good drive to get us into field goal range there. I want him to be better on the first 15 scripted plays. As I get back into my list of things I think the Commanders can improve on to make a stretch run here successful, number one, I said run the ball better on second and short. That's so crucial. We went backwards too many times the last 2 weeks here. Got to hold teams out of the end zone. Red zone efficiency is always going to be crucial. When we get to the 50, let's get into field goal range. Too many times we're punting from the 40 or the 45-yard line. That was very prevalent in the Ravens game and again in that Eagles game. And then stop going three and out. Stop going three and out. Protect our franchise quarterback better. Cliff's got to adjust some things. Marshawn Lattimore has got to be a difference maker in the second half of this season here when he's healthy. The pass rush needs to get more consistent. Listen to this from Next Gen Stats here, all right? The pass rush in the first half was so good. Jalen Hurts was running around. He was getting knocked down. We were putting him on his ass, putting him on the dirt. We knocked him so hard that he went to the to get checked for a concussion because we knocked him on his ass and on his head so hard. In the second half, we didn't show up. Jalen Hurts was not pressured on any of his 11 dropbacks in the second half and completed 8 of his 9 throws for 120 yards, plus 7.5% CPOE. Was not pressured on any of his 11 dropbacks in the second half. The pass rush must be more consistent throughout the final few games of the season here. Need to open drives better, the scripted plays. 5 players that I think must improve in the second half of the season. Number one, I'm going to point to Sam Cosmi, and he's been really good throughout this season. But in the last 2 games, I've noticed some holes here where his guy got through and got a sack, or his guy got through and affected the play, or his guy got through and took down the running back in the backfield. We need Sam Cosmi to play at a Pro Bowl level because this offensive line has been better than expected, but it's because Cosmi was the leader and Biotis was following behind him, and then it was Allegretti, and that interior was so good, and then Coleman came on strong, and Wiley was, you know, at least consistent at times this season. But we needed Cosmi to be the game wrecker that he was earlier this season. He's probably banged up like the rest of the guys. Number two, Bobby Wagner. When it gets to these cold months here, November, December, you need your middle linebacker to stop the run, all right? And we have not been good enough at stopping the opposing team's running back. That's very true. Not just Najee Harris, but Jaylen Warren, not just Saquon Barkley, but Kenneth Gainwell. When the opposing team can put in their change of pace guy and it's successful, that's not because the change of pace guy is better than the starter. It's because your defense is tired, and they thought this change of pace guy was coming in, and it was going to be a passing play. Instead, Gainwell went up the middle for 10 yards. He had 4 explosive runs himself. Number three, I'm going to point to the man that caught the Hail Mary, the man that made such a big difference when he became active week 2 against the Giants and throughout this season. Noah Brown has been a very solid wide receiver number 2. The last few weeks, though, feels like wide receiver 2 has disappeared a little bit. And Terry McLaurin wasn't even involved in this last game against the Eagles. There's too much focus on Terry now from opposing teams' defensive coordinators. Need Noah Brown to step up. Number 4, I'm going to point to Zach Ertz. I really think that if this team is going to get to 10 wins or 11 wins, we need Zach Ertz to play like he was playing in the first 5 or 6 weeks of the season. I don't know if Ben Sennett's there yet. Bates is a good blocker, but he doesn't have the hands or the speed that Zach Ertz has or the ability to get open. And I hated that Philadelphia used to call him No Yak Zach, because that's what I felt like I've watched the last few weeks with Zach Ertz here. So many times he's getting tackled before the first down, tackled before the end zone. He's got to fight for an extra few yards here. And the last player that needs to step up in the second half of the season, all right, so Jeremy Chin's come in, and I feel like everybody's forgotten about Cam Curl because Jeremy Chin's been one of the defensive MVPs, right? It feels like Chin, Luvu, Dante Fowler are the best players on the defensive side of the ball this season. Jeremy Chin was, just wreaking havoc, getting in the backfield, a bunch of really good tackles in that Giants game. He's led the team in tackles the last 2 weeks. So I'm going to look at the other safety, Quan Martin. Percy Butler missed a tackle, I believe, and another safety, I think, missed a tackle there. We need Quan Martin to step up. We need Quan Martin to step up in a big way with the way Jeremy Chin is playing at one safety position. Need Quan Martin at the other. And like I've talked about, Lattimore, when he gets in the lineup, must be a difference maker. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4. Charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on DC Sports Radio 106.7, the Fans, simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Download it today for free, AUDACY, anywhere you get your apps at. Gives you the ability to pause the show, run some errands, rewind, then pick up right where you left off. You can search 910 The Fan, hear me, Monday through Friday from 12 to 3 p.m. on 106.7 The Fan today, on the Team 980, or on the Odyssey app. You got me live and local till 12 noon. Doc Walker takes over after that on 980. Pre-game starts at 12:45 for the Georgetown Hoyas. Rich Svatkin on the call as they take on Notre Dame. And then pre-game at 5 p.m. for a little Terps football. Maryland Terrapins hosting Rutgers. Pregame starts at 5 p.m. on 106.7 The Fan tonight. Your sports programming will be a good college football game. Maybe the best game of the weekend, Tennessee at Georgia. Pregame coverage starts right here on The Fan at 7 p.m. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. Tweet me your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 106.7 The Fan. Let's check out what the listeners on Twitter are saying. Ba tweets me, AWOD, Dan Quinn lost the game. He says, by calling the fourth down play, that play changed the momentum. Shades of Dan Quinn, Falcons coaching. Play calling error by Cliff Kingsbury. Here's my take on that, and I know everybody's got their own take on this, and we're all playing Monday morning quarterback, and hindsight's 20-20, and you're in field goal range, and you're down 10-12, and it makes it 13-12. At the moment, all right, here was my thought. First off, I think everybody's sleeping on the fact that John Bates got the freaking first down. It shouldn't have even been second and inches. Where's my spot getting spotted correctly, NFL? 2 weeks in a row, you botched it with my tight ends. All right? Fix your stuff, NFL. Spot it right. It's unbelievable how they messed that up. Should not have even been second and inches. All right? Bad play call. Second and inches becomes third and one. Even worse play call on the next play becomes fourth and one and a half, fourth and two. At that moment, I said to myself, I said to my friends watching, look, if we can't turn a second and inches into a first down, we can't beat the Eagles. We can't go to Philly and beat the Eagles if second and inches becomes a fourth down misconversion. That was my thought. And so I said, yeah, go for this. Run it down their damn throat. Push the pile and move it forward. All right? And then afterwards, after I saw it fail, I realized, well, maybe they couldn't execute that play. And maybe they've struggled all game long to get 1 yard. And if I'm going to Monday morning quarterback that and second guess it, I would like him to go for it again on fourth down, but to throw the football. Do a play action rollout. Get Jaden on the move. Or just a quick slant to Terry McLaurin. He is so good in these clutch scenarios. I don't think Dan Quinn lost us the game by calling, by going for it on fourth down. I did not like the execution of the play, and I didn't like the play call itself by Cliff Kingsbury. But I'm not going to say Dan Quinn lost the game like that, because here's what I'm also thinking at the moment. We kick a field goal, we go up 13-12. Well, they're going to run it with a combination of Jalen and Saquon, take 8 minutes, kick a game-winning field goal. We maybe never even get the ball back. Or by the time they get in the end zone, it's under a minute left. I just felt like we needed a touchdown in that moment. And the fact that it was second and inches is why I wanted to go for it. If it was a different scenario, right, and it was, you know, a third and eight that turned into a fourth and one or two, maybe I would change my mind. But it was second and inches. We had the momentum. Got to push it forward there. 12th man tweets me, AWOD, Washington's offensive efficiency has taken hit the past two games. Contributing factors, O-line injured, shown some deficiencies. Daniels sometimes slightly off target, not always following through on throws. Receivers dropping passes. Defenses are loading the box. Need to throw more versus the run. So true there. I have noticed the fact that the offense looks like a step slower or just a step off rhythm on some of these running plays there. Like when we're pulling our guards, by the time they're pulling, B-Rob's already getting hit in the backfield. Or if he is fighting through, he's fighting through the smallest hole. It's not a big hole for him to fight through there. And I think he's so right with the combination of Jane Daniels missing a few throws and the receivers dropping passes the last two games. That combination has made our offense look a lot worse than it actually is. Dwayne tweets me, AWOD, I disagree that teams have caught up to Cliff Kingsbury. He says, we had five or six drops against the Steelers, including a wide-open drop by Diami. Muffed punt, which turned into points. Wide receivers are running open that game. It's as simple as we had a bad game in Philly. All teams have bad games. I do agree that that game against Philly was the worst game of the season. By far, it's not even close the way we performed offensively. Hopefully, we can turn it around after that. C-Dub tweets me, AWOD, don't forget about the D-line. The defensive line as a whole, in particular, the D-tackles as a team, as a group that needs to improve in the second half of the season. You can't let O-lines get to the second level clean. That's very true. I mean, that fourth quarter, they just ran out of gas in terms of stopping Saquon Barkley. VA Hustler tweets me, AWOD, I'm tuning in. Keep spazzing on the Commanders. I appreciate that. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to John in Newburgh. What's up, John? You're on the fan.
How you doing, Adam?
Good.
I just want to say Sandra Still, Chin, Luvu, and Austin Eckler, I knew they were playing like they wanted to win the game. Mm-hmm. And then I also want to mention one thing. I was kind of like you. I had a flashback to last year. I thought I saw Ron and Jack on the sideline. And then I want to mention also, too, sir, do not underestimate the Cowboys. Jerry doesn't want to lose. So hopefully you'll be going behind enemy lines for next weekend's show.
Absolutely. I'll have you covered for that game.
Enjoy your show, sir, and long-time listener. You take care.
Thank you, John. Thanks for chiming in. So right that those four players showed up. He mentioned Jeremy Chin, Mike Sainristil, Frankie Louvu, and Austin Eckler. I did love the emotion Eckler showed on the sidelines when he dropped that pass on third down. I don't think he was getting the first down anyway. I also think Jaden threw it a little bit behind him. But he was devastated, and you saw the teammates come up to him and kind of console him after that. And I just love the energy, the intensity that Eckler plays with. Those three guys on the defensive end were great as well. Frankie Louvu is by far my favorite commander on the roster. I absolutely love the intensity that he plays with. I mean, if we had six Frankie Louvus, we'd be the best defense in the league, right? The Steelers have Patrick Queen. We have Frankie Louvu. Eagles have N'Kobe Dean. We have Frankie Louvu. We need more Frankie Louvu-type players in future years here with Adam Peters in charge. I think that we will get that done. But you're right. We need more guys to step up here in the second half of the season. And next week on the show, we will go behind enemy lines with, I think I'm going to hit up RJ from the Sean and RJ show on the Fan in Dallas. And of course, they went viral earlier this season when Jerry Jones was kind of threatening to fire them after some of the questions after a game. And that's why I love that it's Dallas in this spot here. Look, Dallas can beat our ass anytime. That could absolutely happen. Just like we've gone to Dallas before and beaten them with Colt McCoy. You throw out the records, you throw out the rosters when these two teams play. But at the same time, there's nobody I want to beat more than the Dallas Cowboys to get us back on track for a stretch run here. It's going to be a good one, and the Commanders have plenty of time to get healthy before this game and make sure that we have a great game plan lined up to take advantage of some of the weaknesses of the Dallas Cowboys. But, look, disappointment from the loss, but I'm trying to have a bigger picture perspective today. 7-4, everything to play for in December. Commanders fans, we would have killed for this in past years, right? Let's talk about the positives of a 7-4 football team. Everything to play for in December. And you know what? I decided earlier this week I'm going to stay positive until this team is 7-7. I pray that never happens, but as long as we're above 500, I don't like when football fans complain about a team that's below 500, because really all you need to do is get to 9-8, and that's a successful season, because you'll have a chance to win your last game usually and get into the postseason, right? If you're 9-7 or if you're 8-8 at that point, usually something matters in the final game. Until we're 7-7, I'm going to keep it positive, staying above 500. I had Steelers fans complaining on my show when they were 4-2. Eagles fans complaining earlier this season when they lost a few games. Bills fans, Bills Mafia lost their mind when they lost two games in a row. Now they're 8-2. All right? We got to calm down. I'm talking to myself here, too. Calm down, A-Wad. You got a winning record. Jaden's hurt. He's not right. He's got 10 days to rest to play against an easier defense. Easier defense. Still got everything to play for. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7. The Fan simulcast on the Team 980. Always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Rick Snyder will join us at 11. Michael Phillips from MP on the mic at 11:30. But I know from my time working on the Sports Junkies, your radio show is only as good as your producer. And Vic has shot back at me a little bit about my take on the fourth down play there. I was okay with Dan Quinn going for it because, as I told you guys, I just felt like if you couldn't convert from a second and inches to getting a first down there, you're not going to win a game in Philadelphia. To me, that was him challenging his offensive line to create some kind of a push, and they failed the test. Doesn't mean, in my mind, it was a bad decision, bad execution for sure, but I was okay with him going for it on fourth down.
Well, here's the thing. It was second and inches, and I do agree with you that it should have been a first down on the play before that. But on second and inches, you're going backwards. It's third and one. Third and one, you run it again, you lose another yard. It's fourth and you're going backwards. The drive has stalled. There's no momentum at this point. There's no reason to actually risk it. If you can't get it on second and inches, why are they going to get it on fourth and two in that spot? Kick the field goal, take the points, and you still had 8 minutes left in the game. It keeps it a one-score game. By not converting the fourth down, Philadelphia scoring a touchdown makes it a two-score game and ends the game, essentially, and that's exactly what happened.
Absolutely. But Dan, in Dan Quinn's mind, you need a touchdown to win the game. He spoke about it as soon as he got to the press conference. Eckler spoke about it as well. This team believes that touchdowns wins games. I know they've won a game this year with 7 field goals, and it kind of goes against what I'm saying here. But they believe that touchdowns win games here, and they wanted a touchdown on that drive. All right. They didn't get it. All right. They're thinking, Dan Quinn's thinking, my defense gets a stop, we get the ball back, or we hold them to a field goal. A touchdown still wins this game. He felt like they needed a touchdown, that they weren't going to win that game by kicking field goals on the road. At home, I'm 1,000% on your side of this, Vic. I really think it changes by the scenario, by the team you're playing against, and where you're at here. On the road, in that scenario, I'm on Dan Quinn's side here. They've been an aggressive team, and now maybe look. Change the play call. I wanted to pass in that scenario. I wanted to get Jaden on the move, not have him run. I mean, that was a stupid play call there, and even dumber execution that he bobbled the snap. But I think if you throw there, you give yourself a better chance to pick up the first down.
I mean, those are valid points as well. But as you know, as you said, touchdown's going to probably win the game. Why don't you live for another day? Fight for another drive. Philadelphia gets the ball. Let's say they get a field goal or a touchdown. They eat up 6 minutes of clock. You have the ball with 2 minutes with a chance for a touchdown to either win it or tie the game. So going to your point about saying, well, they're going to need touchdowns to win the game. Why not wait to the next drive for that opportunity?
Well,
take your points and see what happens on defense.
Here's one argument I'd say. The Commanders struggled to get first downs all game long. They struggled to get first downs. That drive, you were actually getting first downs. You were actually moving the ball. That was the best drive of the game, kind of, except for the second drive when they got in the end zone on 2 plays, right? That was the best drive of the game. That was your chance to turn the momentum back into your favor.
Yeah, but how did you not see the last 3 plays? That there was no momentum on second and third. You could feel like they're not getting the first down here. Take the points. I almost cussed there.
I love the passion, and I understand what you're saying, man. I just argue that you needed to keep moving the ball there. You needed that drive to be 7. You needed that drive to completely change the momentum. Because I told you during the break, in terms of, you argue that was the biggest drive of the game and that they lost because they didn't kick the field goal there to go up 13-12. I argue the biggest drive of the game was the drive right before that. When you're up 10-3, all right, you're up 7-3 at half, all right? We talked about this with the caller. If De'Ami Brown catches that pass, it's 10-3 at the half, and then that field goal to start the third quarter makes it 13-3. All of a sudden, you have a 2-score lead. It's completely different, all right? But the facts are it was 10-3. Philadelphia went on a long drive, 10 plays, 74 yards, took 6 minutes off the clock, and we held them to a field goal, make it 10-6. I'm watching the game with people. I'm telling everyone, if we don't get a score here at 10-6, they're going to go right down the field and take the lead with a touchdown. That was the most crucial drive of the game, and it was first down at 10 at Washington 30. And we did Jaden scramble for 3 yards, then B-Rob up the middle for 4, got the first down, all right? Then 2nd and 6, B-Rob for 1. 3rd and 5, Jaden Daniels was sacked. Jaden Daniels was sacked, and it was 4th and 13, and you were forced to punt, and then Philly got that touchdown. That drive was the crucial drive in my mind there.
I mean, again, good point there, but I'm going to stick to my guns. Going for on 4th down, that was the game-changing drive.
Do you think that if we make that field goal, we're up 13-12, what do you think is the final score of this game?
Well, I would say Philadelphia probably scores a touchdown. I think they fail the 2-point conversion. It's a 17-13 game, and then you go down the field, get the game-winning touchdown, you win 20-17.
Man,
I mean,
I want to live your life
here,
dude.
I know. I'm on cloud 9. I'm still reeling high that we're 7-4 right now. You know, you got to keep that in perspective. We're 7-4. We all would have signed up for 7-4 before the season.
Hey Vic, let's play Dan Quinn talking about that 4th down for everyone, just so they can catch up with the play that we're arguing about here. It was a 2nd and inches turned into a 4th and 2. I'm arguing that for the momentum, I wanted the team to go for it there to get into the end zone. That was one of the biggest drives of the game there. I just felt like that was a turning point. And my mind was that Dan Quinn was challenging his offensive line to create a push. And if you can't create a push to get 1 yard on the road against Philly, you weren't going to win anyway. Let's take a listen to Dan Quinn and his opening statement on the 4th down.
Biggest play, obviously, to go for it and 4th down and 2 at the 26. Bold call, but I would also say we were prepared for that moment. Don't love the execution, but we've been an excellent fourth down team. So going into it, we knew we'd have to take our shots against a tough division team on the road. We thought that was an appropriate one. Certainly don't like the execution and the result, but we were prepared for that and being bold into those moments, knowing we'd have some fourth downs. But that's one we can fix. The third down on both sides was tough, especially offensively tonight. And like I said, a game like this puts you through the resilience. And love to say that the season is going to go all along smoothly, but you know the adversity comes and hits. And, you know, like I said, tough division game on the road. So
it's a game of inches. It's a game of inches. After hearing Dan Quinn, though, Vic, I'm doubling down. It was the right decision to go for it. It was the bad play call. It was a bad play call. I'm blaming Cliff Kingsbury.
Awful play call, man. Awful play call, which is why you kick the field goal if you don't have a good play call.
Yeah, I know. Maybe Dan should have said, Cliff, hey, man, are you sure that you like this play here?
You sure?
Yeah. Yeah. All right, let's go to Gilly in Montgomery County. Gilly, what's up, man?
Hey, good afternoon, fellas, or good morning. How are you guys doing? Thank you for taking the call.
We're good. How are you?
Good, good. You know, I just want to say, I know for sure myself, I came into the season not believing that we were going to be like a playoff contending team. I think one sure thing is that we have our quarterback for the future. The wins and the little streak we had, I think that's awesome. But, like, I think the most pragmatic view of this season for me is, like, you know, that we find our quarterback and we start putting a few pieces, you know, in play. But, you know, I think next year we have a lot of cap space. I think, you know, we're going to make a lot of moves next year. And I believe and I hope that you know, we're going to be like a perennial playoff contending team like the Eagles. The Eagles rebuilt, and they're a freaking nice franchise.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Cowboys are on a decline, and I feel like this is our time to, like, finally, you know, become one of those teams.
Gilly, let me ask you a question, because I love what you're saying. It reminds me of my favorite Doc Walker quote. He told me, I don't want a good year, I want a good decade. But how would you respond to the fact that Jaden has taken a step back over the last two or three games?
I think it's expected. He's a rookie quarterback. He's shown, you know, I think he has more upward mobility than he does, you know, the flat lines. You know, the last couple weeks he had a few flat lines, you know, but it's cool. It's expected of a rookie quarterback, and I think, you know, those are gonna be lessons for him. I think he's very, very competitive, and I think the time he has now. He needs to heal, you know, if it's the ribs or just, like, everything coming at once, then, you know, take it all in. But, you know, these next couple of days, I really hope that he rests, gets his mind right, and I hope that we come out and, like, spank Dallas a little bit.
Me too, man, me too. Appreciate you chiming in. I will say, I've always believed that you learn more in defeat than you do in victory. So hopefully Jaden will learn a lot from that loss there in the last two losses and be able to turn it around next Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys. We got to take a quick commercial break. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan. Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Download today anywhere you get your apps at for free. AUDACY. Take the radio show with you on the road. Gives you the ability to pause the show, run some errands, rewind, then pick up right where you left off. Check me out on podcasts, Spotify, iTunes, or the free Odyssey app, AWOD Radio or Best of AWOD Radio. We've got a full hour for you, ready for you on your ride home by 4 p.m. every single day of my Monday through Friday show in Richmond. Let's go to the phone lines right now. We've been talking Commanders throughout the show. If you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Kurt in Ashburn. What's up, Kurt? You're on the Fan.
Thank you. Listen, I agree with you. I like the fact they went for it, but I don't like the call.
Yeah.
Now, this is going to date me because I'm older than amino acids, but Doug, a Monday night game against the Giants, Doug Williams, third and goal with the one. Doug takes the ball, turns to his left. Everybody on the team starts sweeping to the left, except Williams, who could have crawled across the goal line on naked reverse. It works one time a game, and I don't see him using it any time ever.
Well, I think that's what they were kind of trying to do on the fourth down, but the execution was not there. He bobbled it completely. But, you know, all game long, they struggled on third and short. I've never seen a team have so many plays that turned in from second and two to third and five.
I agree, but I'm telling you, I've been listening again. I haven't listened for a year to Sports Talk, and I've been listening again, and people don't seem to recall that.
Yeah. I didn't see Doug Williams play, but I like what you're saying there. They fake everyone one way, and the quarterback goes around the other side there, but the execution was just not there. Right, and that's the problem in those critical situations. There, when you don't execute, everybody's going to say it was the wrong call.
No, your point's well taken. If you don't execute, it's always going to look like the wrong call.
Yeah. Hey, do you think they can turn it around, Kurt? Do you believe we're watching a playoff team this year?
Absolutely. Losing to Philadelphia and Philadelphia puts you out. They're one of the top teams in the NFL. Let me tell you, they've gone. I was listening to Grant Paulson the other day, and he said, well, the bad news is we're 7-4. And I wanted to get in and say, let me ask you this. Before the season started, after 11 games, what would you predict that record to be? I guarantee he's not saying 7-4.
Right.
But yet he's disappointed.
It doesn't take long to have
unreasonable expectations.
We're all creatures of the moment, right? When we got to 7-2, everyone wanted to dream of a Super Bowl, of a Lombardi trophy. But this is the best season since 1996. That's a fact. And so we're watching something we haven't seen in 20 years here. So it is pretty darn cool. I appreciate you chiming in, Kurt. Let's go out to Oklahoma. John in Oklahoma, you're on the Fan.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. I'm a 52-year fan of the Redskins. And I tell you, we're playing bonus football this year, guys. No one expected this. I had no idea, like everyone else. I'm just glad we're doing better than we have in a long time. I'm glad these young kids are finally getting to see a good football team out there on the field. But talking about what we're talking about is I thought he'd take a shot that's second inches. I thought it's time to take a shot to chair in the end zone, you know?
Yeah. No, well, dude, hold on a second, man. That is so true. I don't know why we didn't take a shot, Terry, to the end zone, or at least deep and try to get a pass interference. That has been a big part of our offense this year. Noah Brown drawing a pass interference down the sideline, or Terry getting a 50-yard chunk play. It just felt like we were scared to take that shot.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I say, I was thinking that right off the bat. It's time to take a shot.
Yeah.
And, you know, Dan's had 13 or 14 on fourth down in Atlanta. I was telling my grandson, we watched the games together. He's a big Steelers fan, too. You know, Webb is Papa, by the way. He didn't have a choice. But anyway, I told him, I said, he's going to go for it. I said, I knew when we lost 2 yards, when it was fourth and two, I still was behind him for going for it. Because it's big. All games are big. But on the road for first place in their backyard, I mean, two-point ball game or three-point ball game, yeah, I'd go for it. I mean, because you don't get many chances. There's 8 minutes left, and, you know, they could have took a seven-minute drive down the field. Who knows, you know, because even with the timeouts we had, a two-minute warning, Eagles are, you know, just a tough team to beat, especially at home. So, anyway, thanks for taking my call, guys.
Yep.
All right.
I appreciate you chiming in. That move was playing to win. Like Vic, Ron Rivera kicks that field goal every single day. Ron Rivera kicks a field goal in that situation. Dan Quinn played for the win. And I'm not going to complain about a coach playing for a win when his team is 7-3 on the road trying to win a damn division.
You say I'm playing for the win, but there's still 8 minutes left. Even if you score a touchdown, if Philadelphia comes the next possession and scores a touchdown, they take the lead. So in a way, that was not to play for the win. That was just to stay in the game. That's what I'm saying about this. It was not for the win. That drive was to lose or stay in the game, but not to win it.
If there's
3 minutes, 3.5 minutes left in the game, I actually think I would have gone for it. Surprisingly, I think I would have gone for it.
Whoa. Now you're throwing a weird wrinkle at me. No. The fact that there was 8 minutes left is part of the reason why I'm pushing for him to go for it there, because you knew you were most likely going to get the ball back in that scenario, and you were hoping your defense could limit them to at least three. But he went for the win. He went for the win. They've gone for the win all season long. And then, Vic, you got to mention the fact that on fourth down this year, they have been unbelievable, right? I mean, they broke like a franchise record, and the only one they missed was the one that Zach Ertz got the first down on, right? So they were, if Zach Ertz had completed that fourth down the week before, I guarantee you, you would have been saying go for it now when they hadn't missed on fourth down.
Kick the field goal, man. The thing about it is just like, because with 8 minutes, I know, I have a feeling we're going to get the ball back, which is why I take the field goal. When there's 3 minutes and change left on the clock, you're probably not seeing the ball again. I would go for it and try to just make that to be the drive to end the game.
Yeah. Well, it's funny that play pisses you off. Yeah. What pisses me off is the drive after the interception where we acted like we were down by 20 and the game was completely over. And it was like I needed to remind Dan Quinn that he had a Ron Rivera moment. He had a senior moment that 16 points is not 17 points and that you can score a touchdown and go for two and make eight. And 8 plus 8 is 16. And I'm screaming, Dan Quinn, do you not understand math right now? What is Cliff Kingsbury doing? He's calling sideways passes here. Throw the damn deep shot. Give me an end zone shot. I don't care if Jaden had another interception. Were you hiding him because his ribs are hurt? At that point, are you lying to the fan base here? Take a deep shot when you're down by 16. My goodness. They had the ball back with 4 minutes and 38 seconds left. They got in the end zone with 28 seconds left. That was disgraceful, that drive.
Yep, and every game it seems like Terry McLaurin is at least ripping a 50, 60-yard play. Didn't see it at all. Didn't get anything beyond like 30 yards at any point.
Does Jaden not have the ability to throw a 40 or 50-yard pass because of his ribs or hurt? Well, if that's the point, then he shouldn't be playing.
Well, and that includes the Hail Mary. Like, why are you not Hail Marying at the end of the first half?
Yeah.
Like, that concerns me a little bit about his ribs if you're not even going to attempt that.
I know. No, you're right. Vic, I told you I was trying to stay positive today. Darn it. Jaden's not right, but he's got 10 days to rest and an easier defense to game plan for. Look, here's what I still know. I still know that when Jaden's healthy and is at his best, he's incredible. And he's a franchise quarterback, and he'll hopefully be the man in D.C. for a long time. He's not been at his best. He's not broken. I don't think the league has figured him out. He had a bad couple games dealing with an injury, and also his offense coordinator hasn't helped him out. His offensive line has taken a step back. His wide receivers have dropped passes, right? How many times have we dropped passes in the last 2 weeks where they were good throws?
So many drops. By the way, who schedules a bye week in week 14? I mean, come on.
I know. And didn't we have one this late last year, too? We've been getting unlucky.
Yes.
Unlucky. But, hey, we still got everything to play for. And once again, that caller made a good point. If you would have asked me before the season, would I have taken in 7-4 with a game against the Dallas Cowboys, I would have said, hail yeah. H-A-I-L, hail yeah. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and always available around the country on the go with the free Odyssey app. Rick Snyder, columnist for 106.7 The Fan, joins us next.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.